Good morning and welcome to Talk Louisiana. I'm Stephanie Regal in today for Jim Angster. And we are talking about the City of St. George this morning with Drew Merle, a spokesperson for the incorporation effort and an attorney here in Baton Rouge. Drew, good morning. Thanks for being with us.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
And, you know, now that the tax election move, BR, to fund the infrastructure projects is behind us, the registrar of voters can sort of get back to the business of counting and certifying the signatures that you all submitted in October. And what's the latest on the effort and any idea how long it's going to take them? What have they told y'all? And then what comes next?
Well, this was what was intimated previously, that we would wait, the registrar of voters would wait until after both the election and the December election to start tallying and validating signatures. At this point, those elections are over, so that process hopefully begins this week, if not this week, next week. And I know the holidays will be involved, and there'll be plenty of time off. And at that point, once those signatures are validated, it will go up to the governor's office for him to validate and certify it, and then it'll be placed on the ballot, which we would hope would be next November at the latest.
At the latest.
Hopefully. I mean, if everything goes as planned and we're allowed to actually exercise our right to vote, then that would be great.
Now, we took a look at this in the Baton Rouge Business Report, where I'm editor, and you know, and talked to people with the city, and I mean, there's a lot of concern and an assumption on y'all's part as well, I believe, that there will be lawsuits and possibly lawsuits challenging this even before it would get to a ballot. So, I mean, let's say they do certify the signatures in fairly short order and there aren't any irregularities. I mean, there could be a challenge wanting to have a court certify it.
That's right. There could be, I mean, there's several changes in law that went into effect prior to our incorporation effort. We're the largest municipal incorporation effort in state history. So this is a big process and a big project and a lot of new laws that took effect. And so, yeah, in keeping in mind with the idea that the city refuses to allow us to exercise our right to vote, they will take any measure they can to suppress that right. If it includes litigation, whether it's frivolous or not, we anticipate that they will attempt to challenge the validity of the signatures, which if you can invalidate 1,500 signatures, good luck. Because the process that we undertook this time, the lengths that we went to make sure that the signatures were correct, the information was correct, it would be almost impossible without something, some other force coming in for those signatures to be invalidated.
Well, and I mean, they may really not try to challenge the validity of the signatures. They may just want a court to certify it. But I think a more likely challenge is just this question of the constitutionality of only having St. George area residents vote on this measure. I mean, the argument being that the whole parish would be affected, and so the whole parish should get to weigh in. What is your argument against that challenge? Because,
well,
let's assume that challenge comes to pass.
So I live in the proposed City of St. George, obviously, and I didn't get to vote for the Baton Rouge City Constable. That affects me. I didn't get to vote for the cat tax. That affects me. There are a million different examples of elections where there's an effect parish-wide, because when you pay that CATS tax in the city of Baton Rouge, that's money that could have been allocated to something else which does affect us, like police pensions or bond debt or any number of myriad of problems the city of Baton Rouge has they refuse to address. So these are all things I don't get to vote for every ballot that the city of Baton Rouge only gets to. So there's a million examples. They're choosing to focus on this one. If they really want the parish to vote on every single thing that comes on that ballot that affects the parish of Baton Rouge, be careful what you wish for, because all of a sudden we'll be allowed to vote on some Baton Rouge city taxes, and it may not turn out as well as it has for them in the past.
297-5633 in Baton Rouge, or 1-877-217-5757 outside the area if you have a question for Drew Merle from St. George. So, Drew, let's say that you get through these legal challenges, and I mean, assuming this is going to take a while, can you be setting up the city while fighting this battle in court, or is everything frozen until it's all resolved?
Well, if you don't get a chance to get on the ballot and that the citizens aren't allowed to vote for it, then we're kind of stuck and frozen in time, essentially. It doesn't mean we're not making plans, but I wouldn't see how we could affect those plans unless a court in a litigation would allow us to move forward.
But I think if you do get on the ballot and it passes,
then absolutely. The transition process would begin. The governor appoints the interim mayor and city council, and at that point they begin the ordinance process, the transition process, which would include going back to legislature to have the tax revenue transferred to the city of St. George. That would also begin the school process of establishing the school system, the school board, and whatnot.
So that would be another legal challenge that has been discussed or might be anticipated after it would hypothetically pass, the 2 cent sales tax. And there is some case law that might make that difficult for St. George to get that, or at least that's the argument the city will make.
I did see a random case cited somewhere about a Fourth Circuit case, which is not controlling for us. We're in the First Circuit. So that would be a determination by the legal system. Again, who gets punished in that process? You'd be punishing school children in East Baton Rouge Parish. That's the humor of this argument and this fight we're having, is this is East Baton Rouge Parish, Baton Rouge City, fighting East Baton Rouge Parish citizens over the right to establish their own school system in their own city. And what were we told originally in the beginning, repeatedly, even by our current mayor, is if we want a school system, we have to establish a city. So once we establish that city, you're now going to say we can't have a school system? That's not what you've told us previously. We just want them to keep their word.
Early on, or rather the first effort 3 years ago, really focused on the school. This time we've heard from, you know, incorporation supporters a lot more talk about the inefficiencies of Baton Rouge government, the number of taxes that Baton Rouge government has raised. Have y'all shifted the focus a little bit of the argument, maybe not away from schools, but to include broader issues as well? And is that an effective way to go?
In the beginning, it was solely focused on the school system. And then when they went to legislature, again, they were told repeatedly, if you want a school system, we're not going to give it to you unless you form a new city. We've heard it. We've got video of it. You can watch it at stgeorgelouisiana.com. And at that point, you have to take a look at, okay, if we have to form a city, let's look at what that means. What does that entail? And we looked at the city of Baton Rouge. We looked at that monster budget. It grows $83,000 a day. I'd like to have that. Every single day, the bond debt has more than doubled since 2003. The budget's $926 million. No one seems to ask a question about where does that money go? It goes to debt.
Right. So that's the thing. It does. It goes to debt. It goes to pension costs. It goes to legacy costs, unfunded accrued liability.
That's right. And you would know a lot about this because you wrote an article on it you cited, J.P. Morgan says, Baton Rouge is the fifth most over-leveraged city in America. That means, in terms of debt, it's number five. And it's the fifth most underfunded city in America. And that means we're not paying enough towards that debt. We're only paying half of what we need to pay to take care of that debt.
And we have little discretionary dollars to fund the services that people need.
Exactly right.
And so is forming a new city the answer? Or would it be better to work from within and elect council members who will tackle the budget issues?
Well, I don't know if you've watched a Metro Council meeting lately. There's a lot of terms for that, but productive and good are not among them. That process is the government as we have it now is broken. They do not want to change. They've made zero effort to change. How do I know? We've had 20 tax initiatives in the last 18 election cycles. So you talk about raising taxes. They are doing it exponentially every single election, but the thing they're not doing is addressing the debt they currently have. The pension liability continues to spiral out of control. They continue to add employees. They don't want to kill or change or even modify the bloated government machine they've created because they like it. It guarantees votes. It's how they keep the system in place. It makes sure they stay in power. That's the problem for us. Our system is going to privatize as much as we can, as much as makes sense. So in situations where you can privatize it and go to private industry and contract, that benefits the local economy because it's private industry. Your government's not saddled with pension debt for decades to come for services it's no longer getting because that's handled by the employer, probably through a 401k. You have a small, nimble government that not only can address the needs of the people, but it doesn't saddle the citizens with that huge government bill every year.
So let's talk about the privatization for a minute. You make it sound so simple. It's not necessarily going to be that easy. to take those services and figure out how to divvy them up and then just contract them out?
Well, no, it's an RFP process. You have to contract it out, bid it out. You look to see if the bidders are qualified. I mean, this is a process that the government goes through every day in every level of government. It's a bidding process, and you take the most qualified bid at the best price, and then you monitor that contract. The big problem for us would be monitoring those contracts. But when you're a small, nimble government, and I think Central's a great example.
Well, hold it right there, and we'll talk some more about Central and privatization when we come back. I'm Stephanie Regal, filling in today for Jim Engster on Talk Louisiana. Welcome back. We're visiting with Drew Merle from the City of St. George Incorporation effort, 297-5633 or 1-877-217-5757 if you have a question for Drew. And Drew, talking about privatization and what St. George would hope to do if it survives legal challenges and is successfully voted upon by the St. George area population, how do you divide up with the parish government who's going to take care of the streets, for instance? I mean, a state road that runs from Baton Rouge into what would be St. George, that currently the city of Baton Rouge takes care of many of those state roads, like Perkins, for instance. I mean, so does then St. George have a streets department that does Perkins Road as it runs through St. George? Or? Well,
first, I would challenge the idea that Baton Rouge City takes care of its roads.
Okay, but it does, and certainly in theory, at least.
As far as that goes, that's a part of the process, right? Same thing that Central goes through, Baker goes through. Zachary really doesn't go through that with Baton Rouge as much. But you have to work together with the different municipalities. When that road comes into your area, it is yours to maintain. In the case of a state road, the question is, why doesn't the state maintain it? But that's a whole different argument for a different day.
Right. But, I mean, as it turns out, for people who don't know, they don't. Or they enter into cooperative agreements with municipalities in many instances. And the municipalities assume maintenance and control of those state roads through their cities and then are reimbursed to some extent by DOTD for it. So how would that work in St. George? Would St. George have a streets department that would take care of some streets, or would you farm all that out?
Again, it's going to be a combination of both. Just to say that you're going to privatize everything is not the answer, because you can't privatize everything. Some things that government functions to do don't make perfect business sense. There's going to be a mix of public and private. Mm-hmm. If you look at the examples we always cite, which is Sandy Springs, Georgia, and we do cite Central because they've done a great job over there, it is a public-private partnership where, yes, there would be someone to maintain and oversee these contracts, but it wouldn't be a staff of 200 people. That's the difference between what we're trying to do and what the traditional bloated city government model does. We just keep hiring folks. Well, they don't have anything to do today. Well, they just sit there and don't do anything today. No, our idea is to have a public-private partnership where we can monitor and maintain these services and have that private partner that comes in and performs those services as needed. So we're not stuck with, wow, we're still paying this guy and he hasn't done anything for us in 2 months. No, we have somebody that comes in and takes care of striping the roadways, paving the roadways. Again, the city's not paving that road. They're contracting that out mm-hmm. as well, and that's the same thing we'd be doing, just to be a different oversight model.
What services would not be privatized or assumed and contracted out by St. George? What would you still look to the parish to do?
I think you're looking at water and sewer. I think you're looking at not necessarily the parish, but the sheriff's office is going to provide all of our public safety and law enforcement. St. George Fire Department's done a great job. They're still going to be there, and that's something we've always paid for, just like the sheriff's office.
Now, your budget had, I think, $4 million extra budgeted in there for enhanced or increased law enforcement protection from the sheriff?
That is correct. We'd be looking at something with the sheriff's office where it would be either an allocation of a new substation. Really, it would be up to discussions between the sheriff's office and St. George on how we can best allocate that money. But ideas would include a substation in St. George, additional deputies dedicated solely to St. George, whatever equipment they would need to be dedicated to St. George. Just in general, give him the tools and resources, give him additional tools and resources that he could provide to St. George, like he always has.
So why extra money then? I mean, if he's already providing law enforcement protection there, nothing would really change theoretically with St. George.
Because our budget says we can. Okay. And if we can provide additional safety, it's not about maintaining the status quo, because we did that. Why would we just stay in stay with the city of Baton Rouge model or consolidated government like we have now? Instead, let's do more. Let's do better. And if we've got money for it and we have the allocation in our budget, why don't we do more?
Mm-hmm. Schools are a big part of this, and you mentioned schools before. A lot of unanswered questions with respect to how the school system would be divided up. I mean, and you all are thinking you're going to have a couple of years to try to figure this all out.
While there
are legal challenges and while the transition is underway.
You've got legislation that has to be passed to take care of the school system. You've got a transition period you have to go through to set up the school system, from the tax revenue to transferring ownership and the buildings and all the equipment. There's a process you're going to have to go through, and, yeah, we anticipate 2 to 3 years. And in that period of time, that's when you get to sit down and go, let's talk to our teachers, let's talk to our administration, the people that are in St. George, and let's look outside the box at things we can do better. We do know that right now, EBR school system lost 3,000 students from 2010 to 2015, and they anticipate closing 5 schools by 2025. I know that because that's the EBR school board survey and study they did. So I know they have problems. I know they're the 58th ranked school district in a state that's ranked 50th in education. That sounds like a problem. So we obviously don't want to keep doing that. So what can we do? And that's an opportunity in that 2-year time span to look outside the box for ideas, look at, see some of the innovative things that are being done. There are some innovative, great things being done locally that we can look at.
We have a call, Drew, from Dan in downtown Baton Rouge. Dan, good morning. You're on the air with Drew Merle.
Yeah, Mr. Merle, is there a concern that the St. George citizens will end up like those in Baker, which seems to have its share of problems?
No, I don't anticipate that at all. We have some different challenges than Baker has, for sure. But no, I anticipate we would fall more in line with what Zachary and Central have been doing and the successes you see in Livingston and Ascension parishes.
Of course, and I suppose Baker has a different demographic. They have a larger population. They have a more low-income population than Zachary.
There's definitely an income difference on average, although I think our income average in St. George gets a little skewed by some of our higher-income residents. I think if you look at the rank-and-file St. George citizen, we're just middle-class families wanting to control our tax dollars. I think you look at the Baker... Baker's had a longer process. They've got some different issues, but they don't match up with what we're going to do in St. George.
So you mentioned wanting to control our tax dollars, and that's really seems to be, you know, that's the theoretical argument at the heart of this, and you see this trend growing. People want local control. But with that, you lose the economies of scale, and you lose the advantages that come with sort of regional jurisdiction of maybe a rising tide lifts all ships, and we're stronger together. And if we pool our resources, we'll be able to help everybody, the least among us as well. How do you counter that argument?
That sounds great on paper, just like communism does. But in practice, it doesn't really work. Because what's happened is we haven't got economies of scale in Baton Rouge. We haven't got that at all. We've got a huge government that's got a $926 million budget that's not even paying the current debt it has. So economies of scale.
To be fair, that's a problem that most municipalities face, even large, thriving ones.
That doesn't make it right.
State governments face it as well.
Doesn't make it right, exactly. It means we need to solve some problems, and you got to start somewhere, and this is the best solution. I think you can still have economies of scale. What you need to have is partnerships that make sense. So if on something, say, for example, we want to privatize the school buses in the school system for St. George, and we want to partner up, and I'm just being hypothetical, with the city of Central to do that. It doesn't make sense to include Baker and Zachary because they have different geographic issues. Doesn't make sense. We can partner with just that municipality and get economies of scale and get services that make sense, as opposed to, what are we doing in Baton Rouge? We're taxed to the hilt. We have one of the top 5 sales taxes in America now. Are we getting the benefit in economies of scale? Absolutely not.
Well, I mean, I think that's debatable. Certainly the quality of life in Baton Rouge is better than in many places. But I wanted to just address real quick consolidated government. I mean, we just have about 30 seconds. But if a St. George becomes reality, will there be a need for a city parish government any longer? Or do you think we go the way of Lafayette and vote to undo this?
It's not up to St. George. to do that. I think the citizens of Baton Rouge have expressed a desire to do that. And I understand what an unrepresented party feels like in St. George. So to me, if that's what you want to do, I think that's a great plan. It looks like we'd all have our own municipalities and we could partner up as it makes sense, not because we have to.
Okay. Well, we'll be right back after the break, visiting with Drew Merle from the St. George Incorporation effort. Welcome back to Talk Louisiana. I'm Stephanie Regal in for Jim Engster today. Matt Doyle is producing, and I think we lost the caller who was hanging on for us, Steve in Sorrento. Sorry. But Drew Merle from St. George, want to thank you for being on with us today. And we will be closely watching progress that you all make over the next few months as this story continues to unfold. I think this is the big story that is going to be gripping the Capital Region, certainly for the next couple of years.
I appreciate the time. And if you need more info, you can get everything we talk about at stgeorgelouisiana.com.
Thanks so much.